Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Barrett Schoes, and she has written a three-part series entitled Reinventing the World. And, of course, Barrett is really very skilled. She does a great deal of research and writing, and she points out that, and quoting Alvin and Heidi Toffler, a new civilization is emerging in our lives, and blind men everywhere are trying to suppress it. This new civilization brings with it new family styles, changed ways of working, loving and living, and a new economy, new political conflicts, and beyond all this, an altered consciousness as well. An altered consciousness? What are they talking about? Well, they're talking about this new age world with the new world order and the new world religion. And, of course, one of the major disciples of Alvin and Heidi Toffler was a man. His name was Newt Gingrich. He was the so-called conservative leader of the House of Representatives for many years. Of course, if you saw it, he did. He talked a good game, and then he enacted Bill Clinton's legislative procedures. And, of course, it was Mr. Newt Gingrich, who was on the United States Commission for National Security in the 21st Century. Newt Gingrich is part of this whole world New Age movement, but the average Christian doesn't understand that. After all, he's a Republican leader. He's got to be a good guy, or is he? Barrett, what's your take on this? Aren't these people who are involved in this movement, they have a different agenda, a different world vision, don't they?
They do, but yet they speak our language. They don't really want us to be aware of what their goals are, and so they phrase their various statements and visions and the propaganda that comes through the media in words that fit traditional goals and traditional visions.
But don't those words have a different meaning? In
Absolutely.
Other words, they use words and they give it their own meaning because they don't want what we want.
Right. They're defining the terms and they don't tell us the new definitions. This is why for example, Brave New Schools, and many of the chapters are online on our website. We have a chart which shows three different meanings to the educational buzzwords, but you see it in health, you see it in politics, you see it in just about every facet of our society. Here are the traditional words. They sound good. This is especially true when we deal with character development in schools, and you talk about cooperation and citizenship and tolerance and so on. All the good words that we valued in the past, which had meanings that were primarily based on biblical truth and biblical character that God would build in his people, they have taken on a new meaning now, and as they are being implemented and taught in classrooms through illustrations and lessons in giving new meanings to words. This is so big, Dr. Stan. You know, we can talk about whole language, which is how do you learn the new meanings and to read new meaning into the old stories before you actually learn to read well so that you don't pick up the wrong attitudes, before you've learned the new global attitudes and values and meanings. But this is what we're talking about. So in Brave New Schools, the three meanings are the traditional words that we think the words mean still, and then you have the meanings that are being actually given to us by teachers, by politicians, by the various managers of the various systems, networks of systems around the world. And then finally you have the real meaning, which is totally different from what we think it is. But we agree, we give our consent, because we don't understand that we're being deceived.
And that's really so true. And people look around and they don't understand what's happening. They don't understand how it can be that homosexuality is increasingly being accepted as normal, and pedophilia, even pedophilia, no longer has the horrible connotations it's had in the past. And why is the message of our churches changing? Why is our educational system changing? Why are American students some of the most poorly educated people in the entire world today? And if you look at our scores compared with that of Latvia and Lithuania, we're down below them. How did that happen? Didn't happen by accident. And, of course, in this treatise that Barrett has written, which you're going to be able to get from her website, which is crossroads.to. That's cross. Is it road or roads?
It's singular. No S at the end of
crossroads. Crossroad.to.
Right.
She quotes from Marilyn Ferguson. And Marilyn Ferguson is sort of the high priestess of this movement. And in her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, which everybody should get and read, she says this: a leaderless but powerful network is working to bring about radical changes in the United States. Its members have broken with certain key elements of Western thought. This network is the Aquarian Conspiracy. Broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. Now, most people, of course, are never told about this. Anybody who says there's a conspiracy is immediately labeled as a nut, and yet they brag among themselves. They are a conspiracy, and whether it be H.G. Wells' book, The Open Conspiracy, or Marilyn Ferguson's book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, it's all the same conspiracy. It's the one that's described in the Bible. It's a conspiracy against God. Is that right?
Right. And it's so interesting. I mean, even the word conspiracy has been given a new meaning. The implication is that anybody who talks in terms of conspiracy is crazy or exaggerating. There can't be any conspiracy. And yet we can go back to Psalm 2 and read that the kings of the world are conspiring against our King, our Lord. It's always been true because it's been a mastermind behind the scenes, always leading the rebellion against God, against Christianity, and against the people who value biblical values.
Now, Jeremiah 11:9, Ezekiel 22:25. It's that same old conspiracy directed by the same old fellow. It's always been there.
Right.
And of course, what he wants is as many souls to go to hell as possible.
Right. You know, the song that the show started with, I really appreciate the message in that song, but it reminded me of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12.
You're going to have to hold that thought because we've got to take a quick break here. But right now, of course, I want to mention we carry some items here at Radio Liberty, which we hope very seriously that many of you will want to consider using. And one of them is this product that's called Be Alive Royal Jelly. And, of course, this product, I've actually used it for 10 years myself. It's designed to give you increased energy. It's sold with a money-back guarantee, and you get a three-month supply, and if at the end of 3 months you're not happy, why, they'll give you your money back. And what they say is this is going to increase your energy level. It's going to give you a little get-up and go. And, of course, the telephone number is 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. I think you'll be very, very pleased with the product. I know I and my family have been, and we've used it for a long time. We didn't approach them, the Be Alive company, why they approached us, and that's why we, of course, are advertising their products. Now, another product we advertise certainly is the Phonopoly, and it is a board game that'll teach children how to read and spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. It teaches you the 40 sounds in the English language and the 12 basic spelling rules, and when you learn those, why, everything begins to fit together. It's 5 board games and 2 bonus games and 2 books. One of them, of course, is Barrett Schoss's wonderful, wonderful book, A Brave New Schools. And you'll want to get that book and read it, or you can get it directly from us. But you can also get it when you get the Phonopoly game, calling 1-800-544-8927. And then we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum that'll take your child from grammar school to high school graduation for $199.95. That's for the entire program. The only thing you have to buy separate are the sex and math books. Call 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like more information, or you'd like it, but call right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Barrett Schoes. Her website is crossroad.to, and to is for Tonga. And, of course, but Barrett has written some wonderful, wonderful things. We're talking about her latest treatise, which deals with this new world that is being developed. And, of course, most people have no idea. They don't understand that we have people who are reinventing the world. And, of course, they have to distract us with other things, whether it be financial problems or crimes or maybe even a war. But, of course, as our attention is diverted by war, as it was during Vietnam, why America changed, and it changed dramatically. In fact, it was during Vietnam that they took God out of our schools, and they took centralized all power in Washington, D.C., and, of course, they found a constitutional right to abortion, and they changed our immigration laws, and, of course, that's the reason we're having so many problems today. That's the reason we went from 50,000 Muslims to 7 million Muslims living in America. And, of course, at least of those who go to the mosques, 80% of them go to mosques that are preaching the radical form of terrorism, which is so characteristic of the Wahhabi religion. Fortunately, most of the Muslims do not go to the mosques, but those who do, of course, have embraced this radical form of Islam, which energized Osama bin Laden. So our attention, though, is focused elsewhere, and we don't understand that the world is changing. And this is what Barrett has brought out so beautifully in these treatises she has. They're called Reinventing the World, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. They're all up on her webpage. You need to get them. You need to read them. You need to study them. And you must understand that what is happening in the world is not happening by chance. It is happening part of a long-term design by men. But behind those men are these dark spiritual forces which have always energized men who have done evil and wicked things. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Barrett?
Okay. I want to start with the scripture that I was mentioning earlier. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, where Jehoshaphat is the king who was faithful for the most part to God in the Old Testament. There weren't many kings who followed God, so many of them went their own way, became very arrogant, and didn't obey God's guidelines. But he did, and he was facing some overwhelming forces. The enemy was attacking him, and he prayed, "We have no power to face this great enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And I might just say, you know, we don't know what to do. We can't stop it. You're doing so much, Dr. Stan, in making the information available so that everyone that listens can take it. Pray and put that information to use as God leads. But beyond that, we can talk about these things without being afraid. We can face reality because we know that there's a God who reigns. So I just want to say that, and then maybe I can just give a quick overview of the three parts, because the three parts fit together. And if you look at one part without understanding all three, it doesn't seem all that serious.
Well, you go right ahead.
Okay, we're looking at systems, a network of systems around the world, management system, total quality management systems. And I know that you've talked about that many times, Dr. Stan. We've talked about you and I have discussed it over the air, but when we talk about total quality management systems, Many people will think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's international standards that guarantee a good product around the world, the uniform standards for the global workforce. There's much more to it in the last article, which dealt specifically with global standards. I talked about ISO 14000, the environmental guidelines, which are seeping into all the ISO-certified companies around the world. But more than that, it's being applied in schools by international health networks. For example, the World Health Organization works directly with our Department of Health and Human Services, with states across the country, and with local communities to implement, for example, the UN plan for mental health with the standards that come with their understanding on mental health, which has to do with the UN view of tolerance, of acceptance of various multicultural or contrary lifestyles, which has to do with totally setting aside any biblical absolute that might stand in the way and build a sense of rightness into a person where you think that my religion is better than your religion. That would be considered the opposite of the UN standard for mental health. So we're looking at a whole system that an international unified system made up of many smaller systems within every nation and community around the world, which are applying international standards to human resource development. There's nothing wrong with good products, standardized products, if we're talking about television or clean water or a number of other things. But when we're dealing with standardized human individuals and standardized beliefs and values, we are totally going against everything that God has promised us in his Bible to his people and what this nation, what we have appreciated as far as rights and freedoms in this nation. So the three parts are the systems, the networks, the seamless management system. Within those systems, a process of changing minds, primarily the Hegelian dialectic process, which we've discussed many times before, but I'm just trying now to show how it fits into these systems, and international standards, primarily those that are set by the United Nations and by the ISO group in Geneva, Switzerland, the International Organization for Standardization.
And of course, people, for instance, can say, I think that homosexuality is the way that people should go. They should accept homosexuality. Well, that's fine if people want to say that. But if you were to say, I think people should accept Christianity, well, that's a bigoted statement. And of course, so much of what's going on today is really to destroy the foundations of Christianity, which is the basis of Western civilization. So it's perfectly all right in school to advocate homosexuality or any other cult religion, or you can have them be taught the Muslim religion in our schools. But don't you ever mention the word of the God, about the God of the Bible, or the fact that Christianity and Christian beliefs, you're not allowed to mention God, you're not allowed to mention Jesus Christ, but you can mention just about anything else.
Right. Let me just read a statement, just for those who are concerned about the whole School to Work program, which is key to UNESCO's implementation of its agenda for human resource development. Mark Tucker heads up the National Center on Education and the Economy. He's the mastermind behind the partnership between school and labor. And he used to head up a committee or a commission within the Carnegie Foundation, which of course is a global foundation. And you've talked about that many times and encouraged us to read the book called Foundations, which exposes the agenda of some of these resources for global change. He said we need to break the current system root and branch, and he talked about orchestrating a radical change in prevailing culture, the attitude, the values, the norms and accepted ways of doing things. In other words, the standards, the norms, the standards for how we think, how we live together, and so on. And then he said, this is the important part, this was in the letter, the infamous letter that he wrote in 1992 to Hillary Clinton, who became very much part of the implementation, the establishment of this system in this country, which networks with the International Labor Organization and UNESCO and others, other managers of systems around the world. But he said, what is essential is that we create a seamless web of opportunities to develop one's skills that literally extends from cradle to grave, in which curriculum, pedagogy, examinations, and teacher education and licensure systems are all linked to the national standards, a system that rewards students who meet the national standards with further education and good jobs. And of course, what he's really saying here is everything that's tied to education, the workplace, the schools, licenses for teachers, everything has to be tied to national standards, and our national standards are all tied to international standards behind the scenes. And so there will be no good job, no college education or entrance into college for those who resist. We haven't gotten to that point in this country yet, but we're heading there, because with the new testing, with academics being minimized as an interest requirement, the requirements will more and more have to do with attitudes and values, and are you the potential leader that can be used in the world system in this new century. And so those people who don't conform, those who take their stand on traditional values, on biblical truth, will not be admitted into the positions of leadership in this country. And of course we see that in the media already. There are very few in the mainstream media people who share our beliefs, who actually are allowed to write editorials or have a place of influence in some of our mainstream newspapers. Isn't that true, Dr.
And not only that, but they don't allow them into universities. And if you are right. conservative and you believe in God, why, you're going to have an awful time getting any sort of an academic appointment, or certainly getting tenure, because they do not want the children exposed to that view. Now, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and I just want to mention we're going to be putting on a seminar here on the 23rd of November, and we're going to try to discuss all the problems that we're facing today, and it's going to be an all-day seminar. It's going to be out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and it'll be going from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening. Actually, the doors will open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we hope that many of you out there will want to come. It should be a good time. There'll be a lunch, and there'll be a syllabus. It's going to cost $49.95, but I think you'll find it a fascinating, fascinating program, and we hope that many of you out here in the listening audience will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We need to start planning right now how many people are going to be there. We've got about 6 weeks. We want you to get all your friends to come. We want to fill and get people there to understand what is taking place, because we're moving into some very difficult times. There are going to be the new laws, the significance of the Office of Homeland Security, the USA Patriot Act, the TIPS program, that's the spy program, certainly the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, the coming biological warfare in America, the very real financial problems we're facing. All of these things are going to be discussed. And remember, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and let us know that you're going to be coming, and encourage your friends to come from all over the West Coast as well. And then, of course, we want to mention my new video. It's called The 911 Contrived, and we'll give you an overview of the world and, of course, of the events that led up to what happened on September 11th last year. That's 911 Contrived. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order that video right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. it is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoes. We're talking about her treatise, Reinventing the World. And, of course, we hope that many of you out there will go to her website at crossroad.to and look at that. Now, you have to understand that our political leaders say one thing, but they mean something entirely different. For instance, the president, George Bush, said, you know, what we want to do is return control to the local community. What we want to do, of course, is get control back in the hands of the parents in schools. And to do that, we're going to have national standards of testing. Now, you have to understand that the national standards actually give control of the educational system to the federal government, because they're going to tell us, you know, how the children are to be taught, and they will teach to the test. And the test has very little to do with academic standards. It has to do with attitude. And so saying one thing and doing another, you can, of course, deceive the public. And this is what it's all about. This is why, of course, the current administration, the Bush administration, has put so much more into education from the federal point of view. I think there were about $10 billion additional or the educational budget this year, so that they could begin, of course, to give money to the schools to force them to go along with the federal standards. And the federal standards are not returning control to the local community, and they're not getting the local school board or the parents involved. It's exactly the opposite. And, of course, what these federal standards will do is ensure that your child will hate America. They will embrace this idea of a one-world order and the New World Religion. What are your thoughts on that, Barrett?
Oh, I totally agree, of course. In fact, let me read a second statement from Marilyn Ferguson, because it gives a little bit of an idea of all the different people who are working together in the communities when there's discussion of local control. Who are the ones who are implementing that local control? Who is in charge? Who is in control locally? And quite often it's civil society, civil servants, or activists who are already involved in change and are following the federal guidelines. So she wrote, "There are legions of conspirators." This is just following what you said earlier, Dr. Stan. "They are in corporations, universities, and hospitals, on the faculties of public schools and factories, doctor's offices, and state and federal agencies, and on city councils, and the White House staff, and state legislatures, in volunteer organizations, in virtually all arenas of policy making in the country. They have coalesced into small groups in every town and institution." And that's the end of the quote, but just a reminder that these are the people who set the policy often usually in communities across the country. Now, of course, our Constitution called for local control and for state control over education, not federal control. But all that changed when President Clinton signed his executive order 13132, which was called the Federalism. I wrote an article about it, which is on our website, Reinventing Federalism, because he came up with a whole new way of functioning. You use the dialectic process, the consensus process, in working with the states to try to get their agreement. And if they don't agree, it doesn't say what happens. The implication is that you hope the states will agree with the federal government, and if they don't, the consequences aren't spelled out. But the federal government, which sends out all this money to states now, of course, will be in control, because they have the needed resources. The federal purse will pay for a large part of local education. He also talked about standards in that particular executive order and mentioned that word standards 6 times. What he's talking about is everything has to do with standards. And even though the states don't have to follow those standards. The implication is, again, none of the money, the purse strings will be closed unless, will be tied shut unless the states agree to follow national standards.
But of course, Barrett, I mean, that was the wicked Bill Clinton. But the trouble is the Republicans are doing exactly the same thing, aren't
right.
they?
Right. I mean, I think this is probably one reason why none of these incredible executive orders were repealed by President Bush.
And I think
they serve the same purpose. It's a little bit like the third way that Blair in Britain, Tony Blair, talked about, where you just blend together the right and the left. All the different opposing positions come together, are merged into a new third way where you work together. And so, you can talk much more about how the Republican agenda overall than I can, but that's exactly what's happening. It doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make that much difference. In some ways, it's almost more dangerous to have a Republican president, although I certainly wouldn't trade President Bush for Al Gore. But many people just go to sleep. Because they think everything is fine and he's such a nice Christian man.
But of course the thing is then there is no Republican opposition. I do not think we would be going to war if Al Gore were the president. And of course, I hate to say that because of course I certainly oppose Al Gore and everything he stands for. But of course when we see the Republican president taking us into what may well precipitate World War III, when we know that time and time and time again there have been opportunities to take Saddam Hussein out. In 1993, the Iraqi military wanted to revolt, and we got the names of all the officers. We turned them over to Saddam Hussein, and he tortured them all to death. In 1995, the same thing happened again. That book, it's all covered in a book called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent, and he has to write, it's rather interesting how he has to sort of write, because he has to have this book censored by the CIA. And they censored a lot of things, but they let him get in an awful lot of very, very important information. So time and time and time again, the Iraqi people wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein, and our State Department wouldn't allow them to do it. And now, of course, now we're going to go over and we say, well, now the Iraqi people, we want them to rise up, and they don't trust us. You know why? Because the last two times that the military tried to rise up, we turned the names over to Saddam Hussein, and those men were all tortured to death. Now, if you were an Iraqi, how would you feel about, trusting the American State Department? Again, of course, I remember 1991 when George Herbert Walker Bush, said to the people in the North, the Kurds, and the Sunnis in the south, I guess they were the Shiite people that living in the south, the Muslims, rise up. I overthrow Saddam Hussein. We'll come to your help. We'll overthrow him. And they rose up, and we left them to be slaughtered.
Right.
And, of course, people don't understand that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose because the good people aren't involved in the political process. Believe me, the wicked people are. And they will be in both political parties. It's about time we took America back, because we don't have much more time. These people are moving us rapidly towards this new world order and the new world religion, working through both political parties to accomplish exactly what this is all about. And that is changing the attitudes of a generation of our young people, and most of them do not understand at all what this is about. They don't understand the difference between a democracy and a republic. They don't understand what liberty is, and they certainly don't understand the foundations upon which this nation were built. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you agree or disagree, give us a call, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Barrett Schoes. We're talking about reinventing the world. Barrett?
You know, I would love to just read a statement by George Hegel. Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, who was the first head of the Secretary General of the UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And the book is called UNESCO, Its Purpose and Its Philosophy. And it ties together the three topics that I've been trying to fit together here. He says the task before UNESCO, and because this was back in 1947, over half a century ago, he said the task before UNESCO is to help the emergence of a single world culture with its own philosophy and background of ideas and with its own broad purpose, unquote. This is, of course, what we're looking at now. The goal by the United Nations and by many, by the globalist foundations and by our leaders is to move us toward a single world culture, a uniform global workforce. That's what globalization is all about. Then he talks, Huxley talks about the dialectic process, which is the strategy, the process for changing minds that we've discussed many times before. But he says, quote, you may categorize the two philosophies as two supranationalisms, or as individualism versus collectivism, or as American versus the Russian way of life, or as capitalism versus communism, or as Christianity versus Marxism. Can these opposites be reconciled? This antithesis be resolved into a higher synthesis? I believe not only that this can happen, but through the inexorable dialectic of evolution, it must happen. And then he talks about the dogmas of the past must be set aside. There must be a blending. He says a crystallization of some dominant thought. He defines dogma as a crystallization of a dominant system of thought that must be torn down. We must learn to uncrystallize our dogmas. That process of uncrystallizing dogmas, especially biblical truth, is taking place in the workplace, in the consensus groups. It's taking place in various town forums. Anytime a group comes together in the community to have a new vision and to dialogue to consensus about a particular goal or the strategies for changing the community and bringing solidarity. And, of course, it's being taught in churches, in schools across the country. And so what's happening is that we've embraced the process. The process is fitted into every system that has become part of this global network. And at the very top, you have the standards that will determine how people will be assessed. Do they match the standards or don't they match the standards? So the three things work together. The systems that are all implementing these methodologies, the process for changing minds, and the ultimate standards that will determine who is rewarded and who is punished.
All right, let's go to Juliet, who's calling in. Juliet, where are you calling from? Juliet, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, where are you calling?
Dr. Stan, it's Jeanette. I'm on cell phone.
Jeanette, okay.
Hi. Listen, I'm in Watsonville, and a little while ago, I was away from the phone for a while, the radio. A little while ago, I heard you talking about Mark Tucker.
Right.
Well, Marianne Mays, the new principal here at the Pearl Valley Unified School District, is from his think tank called National Center for Education and Employment out of Washington, D.C.
All right, well,
so
of course,
here we are. We're getting right in the thick of it. Yeah, it sure is.
All right, well, of course, they have their agents all across the country. Thanks so much, Jeanette.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us across America, we hope that many of you want to right now to decide to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day and on several programs on the weekend and reaching out on almost 50 outlets across America, getting people to understand what's really going on, to challenge what they're being told. And when somebody says something, you know, and you agree with them, but do you understand that his words don't mean what you think that they mean? Words are used to conceal goals and objectives. And once you understand that, you never judge a person by what he says. You watch and see what he does. And, of course, Radio Liberty will give you a historical background. They'll give you a philosophical background. Hopefully, we'll give you a sound spiritual background, too, because, believe me, Christianity is under attack today, not only from without, but from within. And the message and the music of our churches is changing all across America. So, you know, if you'd like to, of course, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can get our archive programs there. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. Or if you miss a program or you want to hear one again, it'll be archived there. Tell others about our website. Tell them about our ministry. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter and you haven't had one before, 1-800-5-HIV. War. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Barrett Chosa, her website, crossroad.to. And let's go to Ed calling in from Aptos. Ed, did you have a question or comment?
Brief question. Listen, I always wonder when they do make their one-world government, aren't all the knuckle-draggers going to be vying for the top-dog positions, and what kind of a picture will that probably turn out to be?
All right, fine. Well, Ed, do you want to stay on the line, or do you want to take it on the air? Oh, Ed's already gone. So, Barrett, of course, Ed's point is, well, aren't all the people, the communists, the socialists, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberger, the Trilateral Club of Rome people, aren't they all going to want to be the top dog, as it were, in charge?
Right. I think we're going to see a lot of competition at the top. But when we look at various totalitarian regimes of the past, we find that usually the idealists, those who were who approached having integrity. A lot of nowadays, I think everyone has to compromise to get as high as they you know, to get into that field of competition. But the ones who are going to win are not going to be the idealists. They're going to be the ruthless people who don't care who is stomped on.
And we find, for instance, Gorbachev working along with Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller for this whole idea of the Earth Charter, the new Ten Commandments of the world, and they certainly have even more powerful people behind them.
Right.
And, of course, most people don't understand who's really behind this whole scenario of what's unfolding. And that's what my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is about. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. It will put things into a stark reality for you.
I want to just agree with that. I think it's a wonderful book. I recommend that everyone reads it. It's not a long book, but it's certainly puts the pieces together in a wonderful way.
Thank you so much.
I know you're not paying me for that.
We've got Mark on the line. Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
Salinas.
Okay, Mark. Question or comment?
Hi, I have a question for your guest. I was talking with a student from Salinas High School the other day, and he informed me that in order to graduate now from Salinas High, the students have to put in 60 hours of volunteer time with certain organizations. And I was wondering if that tied in somehow to the International Education Program and some of these UN programs.
Voluntary compulsory service, you
right.
know, or
voluntary.
Compulsory voluntary service. Go ahead.
Voluntary doesn't mean voluntary, and I'm going to give an example if we have time later on of that. But yes, volunteerism and this community service is part of graduation requirements across the country now. Not every school, as far as I know, has made that the rule, but every school district is heading in that direction, and it's coming if it hasn't already come. And part of the reason is, in fact, I explained this in detail in Chapter 6 on in Brave New Schools. The chapter is called serving the greater whole. Everyone needs to see that they are part of a community. Now, that sounds good. It sounds noble. But you need, part of the standard for mental health is to see yourself not as an individual, but to see your worth only in light of your service to the community. You're worthless if you don't serve the community, if you're doing your own thing, if you're an individual. And so when you become part of a service group, the schools call it service learning. What you do is basically sit down and dialogue their consensus about the beliefs and values and needs and nature of the people that you're serving. And usually you're serving the poor people, those who are in struggles, those who are in drugs. In many cases, it's a way of breaking down boundaries between social groups. Again, it's part of creating an attitude of equity where you do not judge anyone who might be following totally different standards than you follow.
And I think if you can convince people forcing people to do something is voluntarism, you can convince them that black is white, truth is falsehood, or anything else you want.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Stan. When I was in Winnipeg a few years ago, I picked up a little booklet at the International Institute for Sustainable Development. It's housed in the Bank of Canada building in Winnipeg, and they have all kinds of material on sustainable development. We could talk about for hours about that. But the little booklet that I picked up on ISO 14000, which deals with the environmental guidelines, says this is... It talks about global standards being voluntary. But then it says, this is not to say that an organization may not require its suppliers to meet these environmental management system standards, thus creating a de facto requirement. However, such a market-based requirement is still considered voluntary.
So if you can understand how it can be both compulsory and voluntary, Mark, you have arrived, and now you are a member of this new world society we've created.
Well,
anything
it kind
else,
of sounds
Mark?
Like doublethink.
Well, of course it's doublethink. Of course it is.
It's kind of like Orwell.
You remember what the information, it was on the Ministry of Information, I think it was, and it said, you know, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And when you understand that, it all makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's right now.
At that time, you're totally mad. You're right. You're just where they want you.
God, okay. Thanks so much for calling, Mark.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY from out across America, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, young people will accept this, after all. If their teacher says it's voluntary and compulsory at the same time, it must be perfectly all right. And if they can convince you, of course, that there are no moral values, that Christianity is bad, that they can convince you that evolution is reality. I know I used to believe evolution was reality. And one of these days, very soon, we're going to get Barrett back, because she just got back from the Galapagos Islands, where Charles Darwin, of course, created his theory of evolution. But it was only a theory. And it still is only a theory. It's never been proven. You can't prove it. But, of course, creation we believe in, and it's a theory. But you can teach one theory, but you can't teach the other. Why? Because if you can convince people that God did not create the heavens and earth, then, of course, you can destroy their faith in religion. And that's what it's really all about. It's all in changing the paradigm. Isn't that true, Barrett?
That's right. The paradigm, the old Christian paradigm, is not acceptable for world culture. In a part of creating a world culture, as Julian Huxley said a long time ago, means that you have to create diversity. This goal explains the incredible flood of immigrants into this country. And I myself is an immigrant. I'm an immigrant. So, you know, I'm not saying that immigration is wrong, but there's a big difference now between admitting millions of people into America. And back when I became an American, and we had to learn American history, we had to know the Pledge of Allegiance and say it with a willing heart and accept American values and be grateful for becoming part of this system. Everything has changed. The goal now is to water down the old way, undermine it, and replace it with a whole new set of beliefs and values. In fact, the paradigm if you look at what the change is from individualism to collective thinking, from Christianity to pluralism or outright paganism, from moral values to anything goes, and then from personal freedom, social freedom, because we have moral values, to chaos because those moral values were put aside and sensual freedom was encouraged. And so, of course, then we move toward total government control, which is where we have been now because we've gone through for a while a period of growing chaos.
And, of course, that's exactly what they wanted. One only has to look and see what's happened to other civilizations where the family has broken down and our beliefs in God have broken down, where, of course, homosexuality has been accepted, where there's been a destruction of the financial stability, and, of course, war. War is such an effective means of undermining the fabric of a society. And we only need to read the story of Gibbon's decline and fall of the Roman Empire or this wonderful new book we have called Staring into Chaos to realize that today we are truly staring into chaos. And I personally believe we will have chaos in the streets of America within another relatively few years. Well, Barrett, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, let me just remind everyone of another scripture. One of my favorites is 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, where God assures Paul that he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I feel weak when I think about these things, but I am all the more excited about having a great God who reigns on high, and everything that's happening is part of his, is written in his book, and is part of what the process is of perhaps bringing America back to himself or those people who are willing to follow him. And then Paul's response is just wonderful, and I just want my heart to echo that response. Paul writes, "Therefore, most gladly, I will boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I believe that's where we are in Christ, Dr. Stan. As we take our stand, as we inform people and witness of his power, but make people very aware of the chaos of the world around us, we're going to be walking in victory.
Amen to that. And you're probably entirely right, and I'm sure you're very right. The only way the American people are going to return to God is that they lose everything that they think is important today and realize, of course, that none of these things are important in eternity.
Right.
God bless you. It's been a wonderful hour, as always. Thank you so much for being with us. Our guest has been Barrett Chose. Her website, crossroad.to. Go there and, of course, get the information. And thank you so much for being with us, Barrett.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, it was Barrett Chose. And again, let me remind you about the meeting we're going to be having on the 23rd of November, and it's going to be at Aptos Seascape. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to reserve a place for yourself and tell others about it. It's going to be an all-day-long program, and we're going to have Bill Sardi and Joan Paris and Brad Dacus and Jeannie Soderman, and it's going to be a great time. We hope that you'll be there. We are going to have, if you want to, the schedule, we have it all made out, and it's going to be a luncheon, there's going to be a syllabus, and we're going to try to help you prepare for what lies ahead, because I do think we're moving into very difficult times. Again, the number to call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, to get your reservation, and please help us to have a great, full scheduled at that time, so we'll be back here tomorrow. And until then, may the Lord be with you. called in that says war is good because they make money? Well, see, the thing is, that's just a Marxist concept. I guess people make money, but that's not why you have lords.